someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
Organized debate has a long history in the United States. On Black college campuses, the tradition of intellectual competition has existed for decades. Teams of students mentally wrestle with tough issues of the day and give audiences an appreciation for rigorous engagement. The debaters are confident, committed, and cool. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guests today on The Journey are the captains of the debate teams from Hampton University and Howard University. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we'll start with our guest, Caleb Woods, who's the captain of the Hampton University forensic team. You're a junior in electrical engineering major.
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about where you were born and where you grew up.
So I was born in Greenville, Mississippi. And when I was young, my parents moved around here to Northern Virginia at the end of the Silver Line. So I've been living near D.C. for most of my life.
Okay. So it sounds like you should be at Howard. But we won't debate that right now. So tell me what got you interested in debate.
When I was growing up, my mom always used to tell me I need to find somebody to argue with, because I wasn't one of her little friends. She wasn't one of my little friends. So,
do you have siblings?
I don't. I'm an only child. So I never really had anybody to argue with. So I had to give myself somebody to argue with. So I chose other schools.
All right. And once you started doing it in school, tell me a little bit of what it was like when you first started doing it.
The school that I went to for high school was like a very good debate school. So when I came in, I thought that I could just argue and get away with it, that no one really checked me on it. But I came to learn that you actually have to have a lot of like technical skill when it comes to debating. You have to be able to see the different avenues through which your opponent is thinking and then be able to outsmart them before they even get there. So it takes a lot of actual like mental capacity rather than just like speaking capacity.
Let me turn my attention to Kayla Ozimba, who is the president of the Howard University debate team. She's a senior chemical engineering major. I'm not sure how all these engineers are getting into debate. I'm going to have to watch the bridges and stuff I start crossing. But tell me a little bit about where you grew up, Kayla.
Well, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, but I grew up in Phoenix City, Alabama, and I found myself at Howard a few years later.
So two things. Tell me why engineering. Well, what about chemical engineering attracted you?
The versatility of chemical engineering attracted me. I aspire to be a medical doctor, and I think that at 18, when you decide to pick a major and go off to school, sometimes you don't know what you want to do for the rest of your life, and I was fearful of just picking biology and being stuck in it and having to go to med school. But so I chose to do chemical engineering so I could choose in 4 years, if I didn't want to do medicine, I could have a job, I could go on to law school, I can go on to med school, anything.
So let me just give you this preface. I'm a surgical oncologist before I ask you this next question. So now that you're a senior, what are you deciding to do next year?
I've decided I want to continue to go to med school. I actually am thinking about doing a JD MD program, however.
Great. So I'll sign your degree now that you've answered that appropriately. So there'll be no debate about that. Now, tell me a little bit about what attracted you to debate.
Growing up, I was a talkative child, and my grandfather always told me I had the gift of gab, and I better use it. So my senior year in high school, I was able to participate in speech competitions, and when I finally got to Howard, the first time I saw tryouts for the debate team my freshman year, I was there on time, ready to try out, and just to learn the experience, have more experience with using my gift.
And now, in terms of the technical aspects, what do you find most challenging about participating in debate?
Listening to me is the most challenging part about debates. Even when you debate in practice, you have to listen to your teammates and listen to your coaches. And it's not all about just speaking. It's about actually being able to listen to other people's points and be able to think quickly on your feet to combat those points.
You're listening to The Journey. My guests today are Caleb Woods and Kayla Ozimba, the captains of the Hampton University and Howard University debate teams. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. I want to change direction a little bit. I often try to make the point when I give talks as I go around the country and as I've been doing, you know, fairly frequently, that if our media could cover events like the debate of a Hampton and a Howard University, the impression of what is happening in African Americans, for African Americans in this country, would immediately change. With that in mind, and with all of the activity of Black Lives Matter, etc., give me some of your perspective of where you see youth today.
Youth that look like me, I don't think that they're in as bad of a place as everyone wants to believe that they are. It does take a village to raise a child, so you know you can't just leave them on their own, as the country has tried to do, like, time and time again. So they, like, there's definitely need for assistance there, but it's not a crippling need for assistance. So don't count out those kids.
And what do you think, Kayla?
I think that the youth, as Caleb said, they're not in the predicament that sometimes the media shows. And I do wish that they would show more debates at HBCUs and broadcast more positive images of African Americans, because we are positive people in our communities and we are doing a lot. And I think that, I know that as a child, I didn't see a lot of those positive images on TV. And I think that it's very important for young African American children to see that, to know that they can do that, that they can debate on the college level and go far beyond that.
So we're not going to get into a debate here, but I'm going to challenge you with some data. So last year, the Bureau of Labor Statistics put out data on the percentage of high school grads from every demographic, the percentage of them that went on to college, that enrolled in college. For the first time since they've been doing that, the percentage of African-American high school grads who enrolled in college outpaced the percentage of Caucasians who went to college.
I think that trend isn't actually as surprising as most people would think, because for the past few years, Black women have been the most educated group, like, per capita in America. Black women have the most, like, graduate degrees, undergraduate degrees, like, percentage-wise, than anybody else. So it was just a matter of, like, Black men catching up and then allowing us to then push past the Caucasian percentages. So that sounds about right to me.
So you know, Kayla, he sounds like a Howard man. He immediately went to give the Howard woman a shout out, so we appreciate that. So with that in mind, but let's make sure that we also let him know that we're concerned about the Black male concerns that need to be addressed. And again, I give you another statistic. The incoming freshmen at Howard University, the African-American males, their combined SAT scores are higher than the females. What do you think about that, Kayla?
Well, I don't want to say that it's surprising, but I'm very happy for the African American males to be accomplishing such great accomplishments, and I'm happy for them. It's nice to see African American males to be achieving, and it, like he said, Black women have been the most educated group per capita for a few years now, and often we get a lot of praises, but African American males won't get the same praises.
And the unusual thing about that last statistic is also that they do not go into STEM majors like Caleb has, right? They're choosing what I like to refer to as the Wall Street majors. So they get into finance, accounting, et cetera. So we have some work to do to convince them about getting into STEM as well. Life expectancy for African Americans is the highest it's ever been in this country. When I went to medical school, the gap between the life expectancy for African American males and Caucasian women was almost 12 to 15 years. The gap between the life expectancy for Caucasians and African Americans is the smallest it's ever been in the country, at 3.4 years. What do you think are some of the reasons for that?
Well, of course, advances in medicine and technology and things of that nature are going to sort of equalize life expectancy rates, like, across the board. But then also the fact that, like, within the Black community, there have been more initiatives to try to get, like, Black people healthier. So, like, for example, on Hampton University's campus, there's the Health Institute. We have a thing specifically for Black men about trying to get their health better, because Black men do have, like, the highest mortality rate in America. So
my theory is that information technology is what is probably most responsible. Because healthcare access is not equal still. But Black Americans in general, I think, are large consumers of social media, et cetera. And now you don't have to actually go to a physician to access health information, right? You can get on your phone and there's something about not smoking or exercising, et cetera. I think that has really potentially transformed it.
But I also think that African Americans' health has been improving because there's been an overall a clean eating movement that I've noticed amongst the African American communities, and they are becoming a little bit more conscious about the grocery stores and the quality of food that they have in their communities. And as a whole, I've noticed that on social media, we are now starting the conversations about some of the traditional foods that we have and being able to cook them healthier and exercising.
All right. So we have 2 minutes to wrap up, and I want to make sure we give our audience a clear sense of the anatomy of the debate. Tell me what the traditional parliamentary debate is like. And by the way, I've been in the House of Commons myself. I wouldn't want to be there in an official capacity based on what I've seen, but tell our audience what that is.
So parliamentary debate style, as the name suggests, it replicates a parliamentary like floor. So what happens is we have the government and then we have the opposition. So we have the prime minister, leader of the opposition, the member of the government, and the member of the opposition. The prime minister starts off the debate with a 7-minute speech. The leader of the opposition gives an 8-minute speech. The member of the government gives an 8-minute speech as well. Then the member of the opposition gives an 8-minute speech. Then the leader of the opposition goes again and gives a 5-minute speech. And then the prime minister gives a 4-minute speech.
So the prime minister gets to start and finish. So yes. It sounds like being the prime minister is probably the most important part of that setup. So who decides who wins?
Who wins the debate or the...
The debate. If we show up at any debate on an HBCU campus, how do we know who has won? Kayla.
I think by listening to the arguments, oftentimes we don't have judges. They're more exhibition debates. So listening to the points and see who argued their points strongly and who had more sound arguments.
So that sounds like if you are the away debate team, you got to bring your crowd with you because... You know, the audience participation could be a little bit skewed. So I'm not sure I'm crazy about that, Caleb. What are your thoughts about how should we be changing that format?
Yeah, I'm definitely not crazy about the environment that we're going into. However, it is still a good environment. Black debate is, like, regardless of what we're doing, it's a great thing. So I do think that we need to up the participation levels and up the community interest in it, however, so that we can have something like two schools sending buses so that everyone can see something like this.
So as we close, tell my audience, how does preparing for debate prepare you for your civic responsibility? You go first, Kilo.
So it gives me the ability to like leverage myself against anything in terms of like mental capacity. So I have to learn a lot about a topic in a very short amount of time, all the time. So if I'm continually learning as in such a capacity, then it makes it so that to do my civic duties, it becomes easier. So when voting, for example, I gather information about like who I like and who I don't like very quickly. And so for things like jury duty as well, I now can listen to the arguments presented by the lawyers and I can actually like see what's a sound argument, what's just noise.
Being on the debate team has given me a lot of confidence and allowed me to be able to stand my ground in arguments and when I have to defend research or anything that I'm doing in the classroom. And it's also made me realize the injustices that people of color face every day in America, and it made me want to be more involved. And I think that is the best thing that I've gotten out of debate, is me wanting to, once I graduate, being able to be more involved in my community and truly be the change that I want to see.
Thanks for being here. My guests today have been Caleb Woods, possibly future Speaker of the House, and Kayla Ozimba, future President of the United States. I'm Dr. Wade Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.